Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on the 10th episode of the Press Box. It's a big milestone for us, not just because it's the 10th episode, but because it's Kellen's second episode. Thanks for joining us again, Kellen.
Nice to be here.
And it's the first episode at our new time, 12 o'clock. You get to spend the lunch hour with the Press Box. How awesome is that? And we're starting off today's episode with some big news from the CPL. Eric, what do you got on this one? I know it's some big news.
Yeah, so the CPL released some big news late last week in regards to their kind of update on their 2021 season return to play. Canadian Premier League Commissioner David Clanahan just basically came out and said, we have a plan for a full 2021 season. All the owners are on board. They want to obviously adhere to all of the COVID-19 pandemic steps across the country, depending on where they're going. The target date to start this season is mid-June to early July. So, I mean, sooner rather than later, they're going to be playing. And the question is, they will start in one location with all eight clubs without fans. So now the question obviously is, where is that going to be? What do you guys think about this huge announcement by the CPL?
Well, I remember you mentioning that PEI was a consideration there, Eric. And I mean, it's an island, so it would be a good place to kind of isolate those teams. And it's a small community that won't put further people at risk with these teams playing.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree because, I mean, the success of the 2020 Island Games in PEI last year was very, very well done. They had the virtual stadium, so to speak, so it made it look like you were in a stadium, not just a soccer field somewhere in PEI. And they eventually started to allow a handful of fans for those games. So it will definitely be interesting to see if they decide to continue with that, or if they will be like, okay, let's try somewhere else. Let's pick one of the cities that our teams are located in and then have everybody move to those locations.
I think it's also just smart to maintain the bubble mindset. I mean, I think we've seen from the struggles that leagues like the NHL and the NBA have had, even just trying to keep COVID numbers down amongst players, having the bubble back is probably what's best for business.
I fully agree too. I'm excited to see some bubble format for the season. And as one league is starting their season, another one's ending it. The Belleville Senators had three more games since we last recorded, and they were all pretty awesome games. On Friday, they beat the Manitoba Moose 3-2, and on Saturday, beat them again 3-2. And Clark Bishop got his first assist with the team on that that game. And then on Sunday, they destroyed the Moose 6-1. Mads the Monster Sogard definitely showed up in this one, only letting in one goal. But it was a good night for Roby Jarventi. It's his fourth game, and he scored 3 points that night. Awesome, awesome performance by the guys this weekend. And Belleville's only got a couple more games left this season against the Marlies. So they've been on a crazy tear this year. And it's a little bit sad that it happened so late in the season. Still up in the air if they're going to get any sort of playoffs. But what do you have to say about this season, guys?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that in one of our earlier episodes that we touched on the Belleville Senators, they were sitting at 5-10. I mean, right now, since that point, they've gone on one heck of a tear, and they currently sit at 17 wins, 15 losses, and one overtime loss. So since that point, they've had 12 wins, only five losses. So that is a huge, huge run for the Belleville Senators. And like you said, only a couple games left against the Toronto Marlies, their Battle of Ontario division rivals. So it will be very interesting to see how they do in those last couple games and what happens in regards to the playoffs, because I haven't really heard anything about the AHL playoffs and how they're going to format it this year. So it's going to be an interesting week or so to finalize this AHL season and see what happens.
I'm looking forward to it. I know everybody else at home is as well. We've got the NHL playoffs to hold us over or until we get some kind of announcement. But that does it for this segment. We're going to move on to some pro sports, some NHL talk, some NBA talk. Don't go away. We'll be back for more on CKDJ 107.9. You're listening to The Press Box.
Welcome back to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
All right, welcome back inside the 10th episode of The Press Box, and I'm here with my good friends Zach Netto, Lita McLeod, and Kellen Turner. Guys, let's talk about the NHL playoffs. I know we're a little bit behind because the fact that our last episode aired before the playoffs started and before a lot of the seedings were decided as to who was playing in what, but let's give a bit of a breakdown in regards to who's playing who, where the series sit heading into today, which, I mean, we are recording on a Wednesday, so keep that in mind, people, but let's check it out and see what you got. Zach, what are you looking at for the NHL playoffs this year?
Well, tonight we got four big games. We got the Islanders versus the Penguins, the Wild versus the Golden Knights. Those two series are tied 1-1. You got the Lightning and the Panthers, with the Lightning taking an early lead of 2-0. And the Leafs and Canadiens start their series tonight. And everybody in the NHL and sports world is going to be talking about this series. Both teams haven't played yet, obviously, since the season ended. It's been a little bit, so they're going to be chomping at the bit, trying to show their stuff right away. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And then, like, to break down some of the other series heading into Wednesday night, the Washington and Boston series was tied at 1. You have the Nashville Carolina series. Carolina had a 1-0 series lead heading into Wednesday night. And then the big game in the other North Division matchup, Winnipeg versus Edmonton, started their series Wednesday night. So it'll be interesting to see with these games played in Canada without fans, what's going to happen with Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Montreal, Toronto. I know everybody across Canada will be glued to those two matchups on top of all the other ones. And so, I mean, looking at Washington, Boston, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Florida, Nashville, Carolina, and then Colorado, St. Louis is always going to be a really exciting matchup. Colorado heading in with a 1-0 series lead heading into Wednesday night. And then, yeah, the Minnesota Vegas series, man, that's been fire so far. I mean, game one, what can you say about Cam Talbot making his postseason debut for the Wild and getting like 40 something saves in a shutout where Vegas was just peppering him and just could not solve him. But luckily for them, they bounced back in game two. Zach, do you have any predictions for where some of these series are going to land and who's going to come out of them?
Well, honestly, I would say Vegas would be winning this series, but with how good Talbot's been playing, it's going to be hard, I think, for the Knights if they make it out of this series. I think they have the best goalie tandem in the playoffs so far, but it's going to be, like I said, interesting. The Panthers and Lightning, that series I was really excited for, but it looks like they might just walk away with that one. The Jets and Oilers, that's a big toss-up for me. It's a 50-50. You got McDavid and Dreisaitl on the Oilers, and you got Hellebuck on the Jets. So is it going to be the ultimate defense or the ultimate offense? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that series hits close to home for me growing up near Winnipeg and being a Jets fan. It's one of those situations where I am going to be watching every single game of that and with a very, very faded breath, just hoping that my Jets can get through the Oilers. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things in the playoffs, anything can happen. And with a former Vezina Trophy winning Connor Hellebuck, if he can stay in his zone and get a few wins, he can definitely help them get past Edmonton. But I mean, just the weapons of Dreisaitl and McDavid are so dangerous. Even with the best goalies in the league, they can figure out ways to beat you. So it's going to be a really tight series. And that Toronto Montreal series, man, I got to say, it's going to be complete fire. If those two teams haven't faced each other in the playoffs since the late 70s. And we all know the rivalry between Montreal and Toronto in the NHL in regular season play, let alone being able to actually see them play against each other in the playoffs. And then with the huge news from the Quebec government saying, well, if Montreal makes it to game six on the 28th of this month, they'll actually be allowed to have 2,500 fans, which will be the only Canadian team as of right now that'll be allowing fans in their stands. So that's going to be a huge advantage for them if they do make it that far.
Absolutely. And all of these series are going to be pretty close. I feel we had like four games going to overtime when these playoffs started. So we're going to see some pretty exciting highlight hockey, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Kellen, Lita, do you guys have any predictions for the NHL? I know you guys aren't like huge NHL fans, but any teams that you're looking out for during this first round?
One game that I'm really excited about is that Toronto versus Montreal game. Eric, Zach, there's nothing I love more than two teams that hate each other going at it. And I feel like whoever takes that first victory is on a good path and will likely continue gaining momentum throughout the series. The other one I'm really looking forward to is that Tampa Bay Lightning game. I mean, it's always interesting to see teams come back and defend that cup. If they can do it, that would be incredible.
I mean, yeah, you got, you know, some classic matchups here. You got Winnipeg, Edmonton, you got Toronto versus Montreal. As an outsider kind of looking in, I hate to break it to you hockey experts, but there's no way the Toronto Maple Leafs are losing this series.
Montreal has been... I don't know about that.
Montreal's been a dumpster fire.
Okay, but it's a Toronto team.
Yeah,
it's like clockwork. I mean, they might make it past Montreal and then just get beaten by Boston since that's their kryptonite.
Oh, that's absolutely what's going to happen. But I mean, Austin Matthews might hit him with the four again. You never know. Jumbo Joe is a nice addition that I think's been playing solid enough for them this season. I just have a hard time believing that a team that's been as up and down as the Canadiens are going to really take away who's been a very hot Maple Leafs team. And then Eric, I'm sorry, man. The Jets aren't beating Edmonton. It's just, it's not happening. Draisaitl and Connor McDavid have been on fire this season. There's no way. I like the Jets. Okay. There's no way they're winning the series. They might take them to seven. They're not winning the series.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that they can pull it off. I know it's going to be extremely tough with those two weapons, but like I said, if Hellebuck can get into Vezina trophy winning form and just shut the door every game, anything can happen. You just have to steal a couple. So, I mean, it'll definitely be an interesting series. And yeah, that Toronto Montreal series is just going to be, I hate to say it as well, just like you, Kellen, but I think Toronto's guaranteed to probably win this series. I don't see Montreal getting out of it.
Toronto and guarantee just doesn't seem to go together with when it comes to their sports teams.
That is a fact. Now, heading to the NBA, Kellen, you are an NBA expert. What's going on down in the NBA? I know the playoffs, the play-in games, all the talk about that. Fill us in on what's the latest down there in the NBA.
Yeah, so in what should be some big news, the play-in games have started. Unfortunately, both the games were boring. The Indiana Pacers ended up beating the Charlotte Hornets, but no stars played well in that game for either side. LaMelo Ball finished with 14 points. Domantas Sabonis finished with 14. He did have 21 rebounds, but wasn't that impressive of an outing. Taking a look, though, at the Celtics-Wizards game, I mean, was it entertaining if you're a Celtics fan? Yes. Was it entertaining if you're a basketball fan? Kinda. Jason Tatum dropped 50 points, which is big, big news. It's the third time he's dropped 50 points this season. That's the most 50 point games for a player in the NBA right now for this season. But as a basketball fan, as a basketball purist, it was a boring game to watch. The Celtics had nothing going outside of Tatum, and the Washington Wizards are the Washington Wizards. I don't really need to explain anymore other than that. You're now looking at the Boston Celtics going on to head the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. I mean, I'm not saying there's no hope. All I'm saying is there's no hope. The Celtics might win a game. looking probably at a sweep. I mean, no one can really take Kevin Durant, James Harden, or Kyrie Irving on this Celtics team. So keep your eyes out more on the Western Conference, where we got the Lakers facing up against the Warriors. Makes for a great game. I mean, I know LeBron is trying his hardest to set the narrative by saying, oh, Steph Curry's the MVP. We're not expected to win this game, whatever. What do you guys think about the Celtics moving on to the next round?
I think it's pretty crazy. I mean, that play-in round kind of just set them up to fail. I mean, sure, you win against one team, but going up against some pretty stiff competition, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. The fact that they have to now face that juggernaut of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and even Blake Griffin and the Brooklyn Nets, it's just one thing after another for them. And it's like, hey, congrats, you got through the play-in round, but you're likely going to get swept. Just like you said, Kellen, I fully expect a sweep or at least maybe a 5-game series win for Brooklyn in that series. But yeah, and heading into that Lakers versus Golden State game, it was just like, I don't know, man. Like I kind of want both teams to lose, but I get where LeBron's trying to change the narrative, but come on, man, you guys are the defending NBA champs. Like you can't just be like, we're not expected to win. It's like, I think everybody thinks that you might, you know that you will, but you're just trying to take the pressure off.
From there, I actually want to talk about something that most people might not be looking at right now, but should be, and that's actually WNBA action. So the WNBA celebrates its 25th season this year. I've been watching for a long time. Listeners of my on-air show will know that I actually coach women's basketball. And last night, we got some really good action and really big news coming out of the New York Liberty. Sabrina Ionescu, their top pick from last year, ended up leading them to a win over the Indiana Fever, getting the 9th triple-double ever recorded in the WNBA. She finished with 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. The Liberty ended up winning the game 86-75. She's the youngest player in WNBA history to record a triple-double and the first to record a triple-double for the New York Liberty. Now, I know that not a lot of people might watch the WNBA, but they got some really big stars starting to come up. And I watched the Oregon Ducks for years. Sabrina Ionescu is one of my favorite players. And in a league as competitive as the WNBA is, where you're really relying on skill more than athleticism, to get a triple-double in what I believe is only her 4th career game, she was out last year with an injury, is very impressive.
Yeah, it was incredible to see that stat line. And the fact that she was the youngest to ever do it just says how incredibly talented she is. And I mean, I haven't gotten a chance to watch any of the WNBA games, but like you said, the superstars that are coming up in that league are just absolutely incredible. So it's definitely a league that a lot of people, like you said, don't really talk about, but should be talking about and should be watching, because their basketball is just amazing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the WNBA is slept on. It'll probably continue to be slept on, which is a bit of a shame. But I think with this draft class coming up, I mean, you got Ionescu, you got a bunch of the stars from last year's WNCAA competition really coming up, which I felt actually got a lot of eyes on it, which was nice to see. There's a real changing of the guard feeling happening right now in the WNBA. And if you're someone that likes basketball, there's no reason not to watch other than, you know, not enough TV channels show it.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, they need to be on more TV, have more games broadcast. But yeah, the WNBA is definitely something that people should start looking out for and keeping an eye on. Well, I gotta say, guys, that was one heck of a segment, and let's wrap it up here. We will be back after the break with some talk about the NFL, some boxing, and maybe even throw in some Blue Jays talk. But stick around, and we will be right back on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey there, we missed you. This is the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. We're all here ready to talk about some hard-hitting news because it's our NFL and boxing segment. We're going to start with the NFL. There was some recent drama, well, continued drama, I guess, with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, where a former GM, Ron Wolf, said on the Big Show radio network that today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. They're hired to play the position, but these guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. He called it an interesting dilemma, and I wanted to bring it up with you guys. Do you agree? And if so, do you have a problem with quarterbacks taking or wanting to take a little bit more control over the team?
So with this, I mean, it's kind of, on one hand, I understand the frustration that front offices face with quarterbacks wanting to throw more weight around between personnel changes and options for their team. But at the same time, this is brought on due to that drama going on with Aaron Rodgers and even somewhat with Tom Brady last year. I mean, you have talented quarterbacks who are just, in a sense, getting wasted with their teams, who just aren't meeting the needs that they need to get their game to the peak it can be, to get over that threshold. Like for the Green Bay Packers, for example, they haven't picked many, if any, real first round offensive weapons for Rodgers to help make the team overall better and take some of that pressure off Rodgers making those incredible plays that he has to go out of the pocket to do. But I mean, like I said, I'm kind of torn. I see both sides of the issue, and I think it's something that's going to get ironed out more this season as there are so many quarterback changes going on throughout the league.
I mean, I will come in and say right off the bat, I don't feel torn about it at all. I'm a basketball fan. I've believed since day one, power to the players. And when you're a quarterback, especially if you're a superstar quarterback, you're the most important position on an NFL team. I have no problem with players, especially quarterbacks, wanting more power. I don't think it's fair to expect a superstar like Rodgers to waste his career for a team that's not even willing to get him pieces to work with, let alone to get him offensive pieces to work with. So do I understand that? Yeah, sure. Maybe it's annoying when it's someone like Aaron Rodgers, who's been a bit sensitive and will say things in the media and will leak things to start drama. Sure. But if the question is, do I think quarterbacks should have more power within the franchise? Absolutely.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, if you're a superstar quarterback like a Rodgers or even a Brady, that, I mean, the last year or so of his tenure with my team, the Patriots, I mean, we just weren't getting him the weapons that he needed. And that's part of the reason why he up and left to head to Tampa. And I mean, Tampa was like, yeah, you want weapons? Okay, we're going to bring Gronk out of retirement. We're going to bring this guy. We're going to bring this guy. Like, it's just one of those things where the quarterback is your crucial piece. And if you're not surrounding them with the weapons that they need to be able to succeed, you're going to see teams just fall apart, even though they have this superstar quarterback. And then the fans turn on the quarterback saying, oh, well, he was touted to be a superstar and should be a Hall of Famer, but he's obviously trash because he can't win us these games. It's like, if he doesn't have any star wide receivers, tight ends, etc., to get the ball to, then it's useless.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to look at it this way, guys. I mean, Rodgers, there's no denying he's great. He's definitely going into the Hall of Fame. However, he also, and again, you can put this towards coaching and personnel to an extent, but Rodgers hasn't gotten Green Bay past that hump to make it to the actual game of games in quite some time. And I mean, yes, star quarterbacks should definitely have a say in some of the personnel around them, but you also have those one-off seasons where quarterbacks can play amazingly, and then it turns out that they really suck. You know, so that's where my kind of concern comes with quarterbacks wanting to make those changes before they actually pay their dues. Now, Rodgers, like I said, has paid his dues. But on the other hand, if this doesn't work out for Rodgers, say he goes somewhere and they give the Brady treatment to him and he still can't make it over that hump, that's going to be a completely different story on this narrative of quarterbacks, you know, seizing that power more.
I was just going to say, well, sure. I mean, but I think the difference is if Rodgers fails, that's on Rodgers now. But the problem with his current situation is that we can never truly say, okay, is the reason that they're not making it to the Super Bowl because of Aaron Rodgers, or is it because of the pieces they put in front of them?
Well, that's what I just said, right? It is that thing that will be decided this season. If he can't make it over that hump with, you know, the one or two pieces that they've given him and he stays, or if he goes elsewhere, he gets that Brady treatment where he gets everything he wants from the front office and still can't make it over that hump as well. You know, it kind of boils down to him at the end of the day on how this is going to change quarterbacks and the power that they will have moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree.
It's an interesting thought, right? You got to be good enough to make those demands, but at the same time, you're like the third most knowledgeable person about the game next to the coach and the assistant coach in some cases. So I could definitely see both sides of the coin. But moving on, I didn't actually get to watch boxing this weekend, but I'm hoping to get filled in on it this week. And I know there's some big, big drama with a big, big player in the boxing world, right, Lita?
Oh, yeah. So a lot has happened in the boxing world. So this weekend, we had Nery and Figueroa facing off in a 12-round battle. And that was some great back and forth action, guys. These guys stood toe-to-toe throwing punches. A total of 386 of the 414 landed shots were power punches, with Nery edging out Figueroa with 209 of those power shots being thrown. However, Figueroa, his age advantage came in handy here, as well as his 7-inch reach advantage. And he was able to turn this fight around. In the sixth round, where Nery was doing really well in the scorecards, it kind of took a turn. And then when the match continued in the seventh round, Figueroa dropped Nery hard with a body shot, and he went down like a sack of potatoes, guys. And with that, he became the WBC super bantamweight winner and unified the world junior featherweight division. Also, what's been going on here, the huge drama is the heavyweight drama that's been happening. If you are a boxing fan, you know these names: Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and Alexander Usyk. All four of these giants are wanting a piece of one another. The anticipated heavyweight unification brawl between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, which was announced and scheduled for August later this year, is in jeopardy because Deontay, the Bronze Bomber Wilder, is back after he suffered a gruesome beat up back in February of 2020. He's back because originally in his fight with Fury in the contract, there was a rematch clause that would make these two gentlemen fight for a third time in a winner takes all sort of situation. It was postponed, obviously, due to COVID. Both of the teams entered arbitration, as Fury's team really wanted to get the battle with Joshua going. And unfortunately, the American courts have ruled that Fury must face Wilder before that fight can happen. Wilder has been running his mouth and getting under Fury's skin. He's called him a joke because Wilder is trying to demand $20 million as a step aside fee so the Joshua Fury fight can go on. If you know Tyson Fury, that is not going to stand. The man's a gypsy. He will not pay for a man to step aside. He'll just remove him himself. And I mean, this also throws a kink in the schedule for Joshua, because in boxing, you are required to defend your belt at least once a year. And that timeline is starting to crunch for Joshua. So Alexander Usyk, who is best friends to one of my favorite boxers in the game, Lomachenko, he is now looking to fight Joshua as well. I mean, it would be a good fight either way, either of these two stepping stones towards that ultimate Joshua versus Fury fight would be amazing to watch. However, this is a huge risk, because what makes the Joshua and Fury fight so interesting is the winner between these two men, if they go forward with the belts they have, the winner will become the first undisputed heavyweight champion since Lennox Lewis back in 2000, and the first man to do it in the four belt era. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they're able to get things going. Rumor is that the Fury and Wilder fight will take place in July now, with hopefully the Joshua and Fury fight continuing in August. And then this weekend, we also have Taylor versus Ramirez happening on Saturday on ESPN. The card starts at 8:30, but expect these guys to walk out late, probably around 11 o'clock. It's going to be some super lightweight action. And you have Josh Taylor, who is 17-0 with 13 wins by way of knockout. He has a power edge with 76% knockout percentage, and he's a southpaw, which is going to give Ramirez's orthodox stance some issues as they battle for that front foot position. Ramirez is 26-0 with 17 wins by knockout. He has a 2-inch reach advantage. He's younger and he has more fighting experience. I'm going to go with Ramirez on this one. He's probably going to stop him by the 8th round.
That sounds awesome. I'm super excited for whoever Tyson Fury goes up against. Anytime a fighter has a chance to make history, you know it's going to be an awesome, awesome fight that you can't miss. And boxers are insane. Like, having a fight and then being ready to fight again the next month, it's insane to me. So I'm definitely going to be checking out Tyson Fury. He's fast becoming a name like Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather. And you even mentioned Lennox Lewis. So he's fast becoming one of the greats. I'm excited for it.
Honestly, if you're interested in boxing and you like heavy hitters, check out all four of these guys, because they're going to be going at each other over the next year while they figure out this whole situation. Usyk, Joshua, Fury, and Wilder. You got to check them out.
I was just going to say, I did watch the last fight. I watched Wilder versus Fury.
Yeah, he got destroyed. Like, his whole face was rearranged.
I've been watching Fury, you know, since his comeback. You know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, his mental health and his comeback from that.
Yeah.
So I really wanted him to win this fight. And I just remember the entire time thinking, this is just an outclass. Like, Wilder couldn't land a punch. Fury was mocking him throughout the fight.
Whenever Fury puts his tongue out, you know he means business.
It was bad. Like, Wilder looked like he didn't know how to box.
Compared to Tyson Fury, he didn't. Fury has so much experience behind him. Like, he comes from a gypsy culture, which is based around fighting. He's been fighting his entire life since he was a kid.
Yeah. So, I mean, am I excited to see a rematch? No, solely because we've seen it. I was really looking forward to that match with Anthony Joshua. But I mean, hey, I'll watch a pay-per-view where, you know, I get to see Tyson Fury outclass a boxer all over again.
I mean, it would be a short match. I feel like this next third round, Fury isn't going to waste time, especially with the mouthing off that Wilder has been doing, and the fact that he demanded $20 million as a step aside fee. That is such an insult to any fighter, but especially one with a gypsy background.
Well,
like I said,
saying that Fury laced his gloves and that they didn't check his gloves before the match. Get out of here. Like, that's blatant disrespect to one of the best boxers on the planet.
That's a loser's excuse. It sounds like to me.
Oh, 100%. And like, yeah, Wilder got defeated so soundly. Like, I don't know about you guys, Kellen, but when I watched that match, like, I felt like Rocky just being like, throw the towel in, man, throw it in.
Yeah, absolutely. There was no need for that fight to go as long as it did. Wilder never stood a chance.
No, he was just playing with him.
Absolutely.
So you heard it here first. If you get a chance, definitely, definitely tune in and watch some pay-per-view boxing action. Super excited for that, and super excited for our next segment. Moving on, we're going to be talking about some baseball news and the Press Box Sports Bet segment, where we're going to be introducing our new name. So stick around, guys. You're listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are back for our final segment, which we all know is the segment that everybody waits for every week, because it does have Zach's betting picks, which, like he said, heading into the break, we do have a new name for it, and we will fill you in on just on that in just a few minutes. But first, let's touch on the Blue Jays. Guys, they are 6-1 in their last seven games, including 4-1 heading into Wednesday night's game against Boston since our last episode last Thursday. So, Zach, what do you think about how the Blue Jays have been on this tear? And if you think that they can keep it up and move past Boston for first in the AL East?
Well, holy moly, free holy. I was just blown away by Hyunjin Ryu's pitching, man. He's constantly switching up his style at the mound. I find like every pitch is different. He keeps people guessing. It makes him like a legit threat to anybody at bat. And the offense is awesome too. In that game against Philly where they dominated them, or sorry, the Red Sox, the team got 18 hits. They play the Red Sox again tonight at 7:30. I don't know much really about baseball, as we know, but I think we're getting to the part of the season where teams are going to start to spread away from each other soon. We're only half a game back from being ahead of the Red Sox in our division, and only a game and a half between deficit between Red Sox, Blue Jays, the Rays, and the Yankees. So they're super, super close. Toronto's just going to need to make sure that they're the ones on top in the next couple games.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that since our last episode, they've gotten an 8-4 win against Atlanta last Thursday. They lost Friday to the Phillies 5-1, but then have won 3 in a row heading into Wednesday night, 4-0 versus Philly, 10-8 versus Philly, and then that impressive 8-0 win versus Boston that you were talking about with Hyunjin Ryu on the mound, just absolutely dominant. And I mean, with the Blue Jays, like being only half a game back heading into Wednesday night, they have two more games against Boston this week, and then they also have a three-game series against Tampa this week. They can really put some pressure and put some distance between them and their division if they can go through and win all these games heading down this this stretch over the weekend, because if they can win all those games, they're definitely going to be ahead of Boston, and they could be well out in front of the Tampa and the Yankees. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play, but I am really, really excited to see how the Blue Jays play down the stretch here. And I mean, I say down the stretch, but they're not even at the half, anywhere close to the halfway point of the season yet. They play 162 games and they play until the end of September. So they got a long road track, a road to go through till the end of the season. So it'll definitely be interesting to see. Now, moving on, Zach, this is the moment that everybody tunes into. You have a new name for this segment, and everybody loves your sports bets and all that. So fill us in. How are we doing this year since our previous 9 episodes? How did we do last week? And what are you looking at this week in your sports bets?
Well, we're at the 10th episode now, double digits. It's our first milestone. Is that a tear in your eye? It probably is, because what a journey we've had, right? I'm so happy this show's still going strong and sports are still going. Last week, we finished 2-2, still trying to get a more positive record, but we're still positive 17-16 after 9 episodes. And the NHL playoffs are alive and well, and today's picks are special. Why? Because we finally have a name for this segment. I'm calling it the Press Box Playmakers. And just as a side note, when we're betting NHL playoffs, I think you should always bet a money line when it comes to playoff hockey, because we've had 4 games go to OT so far since they've started. And you know, I've been too concerned with keeping a positive record. You got to focus on what matters, making money. So today's picks are certified locks, I hope. Our money line is for Friday's game with the Carolina Hurricanes and Nashville Predators. The Canes have beat the Preds 5 times out of 7 this year, and they've already won game 1. This series is already over in my mind. Carolina wants to shut them down in this one. After the heart and soul crushing loss to the Boston Bruins in the postseason last year, Carolina is looking to make a bigger impact this year. And this time they will not be eliminated in the first round. My money line pick for this week is Carolina Hurricanes on Friday's game. And for the over-under, I'm going with Vegas and Minnesota. I think Vegas is starting to wear down Minnesota despite these low-scoring games. But everyone's saying Minnie's got a good chance to win this series. But they're going against the Knights, one of the best teams in the league. They're dominant, they're hungry, and I have a feeling they're going to make Minnesota look like fools in this one, just like St. Louis did last week. And I can feel you shaking your heads thinking I've gone insane, but I'm telling you, the hockey gods have spoken to me, and they've whispered to me to hammer the over in this game. So who am I to deny their wisdom? I feel like this one's going to be a fairly high-scoring game, and hey, life's too short to bet under. I'm telling you, bet the farm on this one. I've got a gut feeling about this one especially. My over-under pick for this week is over 5.5 goals between the Golden Knights and Minnesota Wild. And for the NBA, I'm going for my handicap spread pick, the Washington Wizards versus Indiana Pacers. Both teams are really, really good, but they both had the same win-loss record in the regular season, so I have a feeling this will be an intense game. I think Westbrook and the Wizards have enough juice in the tank to give it their all in this one. So I figure if the teams are pretty equal, then one of them should be able to win with a plus money handicap. I'm going to back Westbrook, Beale, and the Wizards in this one, covering the spread with at least a plus 4.5 handicap. My handicap pick for this week is the Washington Wizards winning with a plus 4.5 to plus 6.5 handicap. And finally, the bonus pick. This bonus pick is double trouble. This one's a risky play, but it's one of my favorites to make. We're going to be picking a winner and the total score. Some betting sites offer this one as one bet, so you can take that or one of the other. I apologize if your site doesn't have it, but hey, what do you want from me? I didn't make it rain. I just have the biggest umbrella. Toronto's going to be really motivated in this game against the Montreal Canadiens. Matthews and Marner are one of the best duos in the NHL, and they're going to terrorize whoever's between the pipes in this series. In the games I've seen, they generally look happier on and off the ice, which to me means they're finally playing like a team. My bonus pick for this week is Toronto to beat the Canadiens with the money line and score over 5.5 goals between the two of them. That's my picks for our 10th episode on the Press Box, our Press Box Playmakers. What do you guys think?
You really did speak to the hockey gods, didn't you?
I think so. They spoke to me, really.
Oh my gosh, these picks are fire. And you said bet the farm, so the farm's getting bet. Zach, it's in your hands with these picks.
As the basketball expert on the show, I will say you made the right choice going Wizards over Pacers. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah, and I got to agree with those picks. Those I have a good feeling. That Vegas-Minnesota series, I think, is going to turn into a really high-scoring series. And, you know, with Toronto and the hockey gods talking to you, I mean, as much as I said it before, and I'll say it again, I cannot for the life of me want to cheer for Toronto, but I think that Toronto will definitely win that game one, especially with just how bad Montreal has been this year against the Leafs.
Let's go. Let's hope playoff hockey brings us all good fortune, guys.
They're your picks. Of course they're going to bring us a fortune.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Lita. They're your picks. You seem to be pretty consistent. We've had a couple 2-2 weeks, but we've also had that one 4-0 week. So hopefully we can follow this up with another 4-0 week, because those picks are going to be really, really incredible. And I can't wait to see what happens over the weekend with these picks and how well we can do.
The hockey gods spoke to them. It's got to be true.
Yep, that's a fact. Well, that does it for us here on the Press Box, episode 10, at our new time at noon on Thursdays. Check us out every week. You can check us out on the ckdj.net website for any of the episodes that you may have missed. But for myself, Kellen Turner, Lita McLeod, and Zach Nadeau, this has been the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Have a great long weekend, everyone.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Freedom!
Nice.
Long weekend freedom.